Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode.
It was a physical thing. Am I going to be able to do this? I know I can do it for one day. I'm pretty confident I can do it for 2 days. But am I going to be able to do it for 3 and 4 days? That was my big question. And I felt, look, we were very supportive of each other in the trail. Even when we were, in the last few days when everybody's absolutely at their worst, we're been grinding now for 3 or 4 days, whatever it was. And those are the times when you're most susceptible to the mental breakdown, right? Wanting to quit just because of the pain. As I said before, I was very fortunate. I didn't go through what you and Greg went through. I mean, I can't imagine how I would have felt if I'd had those issues through the hike, but it was a physical thing.
And do you think, like, for you, like, the physicality, do you think that would eventually play mentally? Like, meaning that even though you notice, like, okay, blisters, chafing, physically, my feet are wrecked and I'm wrecked, but like just having that mental strength to just keep going.
Yeah, no, I think so. But I think a big, what helped as well was the, you know, I wasn't out there by myself trying to do this. I had you three guys there. And as I said, we're all supportive of each other and pushing each other to keep going. And it's not like anybody was, you know, I think Greg was probably, Jason, I couldn't tell that you had an issue. I saw,
except the back of my pants.
Yes, exactly. I saw Greg's toes, and that was like on day two or day three. I don't remember. It was early.
Day two.
And I have no idea how, I guess in my mind, I kept thinking, if Greg is managing this, what he's going through, and he's still going, there's no way I'm stopping. My feet still feel good, you know, comparatively. So.
And Jason, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, there was a serious mental aspect to it, because back then I was suffering from panic attacks out of the blue. And I was, that was my primary concern, was what am I going to do if I'm out there and it comes on? Because that's a full blown panic attack is a 6 or 8 hour event that leaves me completely drained. And it did happen. It happened the night. Where we walked over that little overspill of that lake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? And we made that camp up on that. Like, that was like our primitive camp up there, right? We just went up there. And that night, it tried hard to come on. I don't know why. I was able to fight it for about an hour and get it batted down. That after the first day, my physical concerns, I was like, no, I think I could do this, right? I pretty much knew at the paces we're doing that I could physically hold up. That part to the last day, I was just very cautious about. And to John's point about solo hiking, I want to try a solo hike because of the mental part of that, right? I don't know that I could by myself do the full length, you know. I don't know, that to me, that's more of a mind game, just by myself in solitude and stuck with myself, you know what I mean? So yeah,
because Bigfoot's out there.
That's right.
Greg?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem mentally.
You pushed through a lot of pain.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, like, leading up to, I didn't have, like, mental fortitude, but, like, an issue. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. If I commit to something, I'm going to do it. But I will say, when I sat down on day two and I looked at my toes, I was like, I might get gangrene. I might have to medically tap out. And then after like putting tape on and going, and with you guys, like John said, there's something about hanging out with you that I'm not gonna fucking quit. And I'm not ever gonna let you know.
Yeah.
That I'm in as much pain as I'm in. And I know physically you could see it, but I'm not saying it.
Yeah. I mean, even in Bear Canyon you didn't quit, right?
All right.
You were still saying, yeah, let's go out to Pratt. Yeah. And I'm like, we can't. So if you look at our experience, what did you learn about yourself leading up to heading out on the hike, completing it? Or did you learn anything about yourself? Kind of just looking at the whole experience, John, you want to
give it a shot? Absolutely. I did learn a lot about myself. I'm first and foremost, I learned that certainly more capable than what I thought I was, you know, being a novice to the hiking world and completing a 100-mile through hike, it was a big deal to me. But the stranger thing was when I would, you know, people would, because I told people I was going to do this. And when I mentioned it, you know, it's a 96.4 miles. We walked it in 5 days in camping. A lot of people, their jaws drop, you know, and I know people have hiked way further than that. And, you know, you look at the trails, it takes a month to do this. And most people, the challenge isn't lost on them. And, it was surprising to me at how many people were, I don't know, shocked isn't the right word, but just surprised at the fact that we did it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very rewarding. It's always nice when something like this happens and you have the realization that you're more capable than what you thought you were.
Yeah, for sure. Jason, what about you?
Yeah. I think the two biggest things I can think of that stand out is that I didn't realize like how much I miss being in nature. You know, I grew up in Northwest Arkansas. I was outside all the time.
Yeah.
And it was good to be out there. Yeah. it felt good. It felt good to be out there. The smells, like smells bring on nostalgia, right? You smell certain things like, God, I forgot all about that. So that's one. And then the other, the main thing, which I think is one of the best things about the hike for me was like, I figured out that I like live in my head. Like I'm in my head about the future planning, like no presence, way too much. And then just like going throughout that whole week of hiking, like that died down. Like the thought just slowed down, the quiet, right? The silence. It's not the silence of the woods. It's the silence up here. Right. And that was amazing. That stuck with me even afterwards for weeks. And then I probably need to do it again, but yeah, those were two huge. I didn't realize how much I was just constantly stuck in my head.
Don't tease me like that. We'll be on the trail in January.
All right,
Greg, what about you?
Yeah. So you mentioned I went through a challenging time in my life. I learned on that hike I could open up.
Yeah.
And my mental fortitude, there was a lot of pain, I would admit. Yeah.
Yeah.
More than learning just learning about ourselves, I think we learned a lot about each other, you know, through the conversations and talks. You know, inevitably at some point in the trail, two of us would be just walking together and just conversation about life, our life experience and where we came from, what we're doing, all kinds of, I don't even remember all of them, but it was a tremendous amount of knowledge just, you know, between us and our lives, which was, yeah. I thought really cool.
It certainly brought us a lot closer together, right? Like I, you know, not being in Greg's life for so long, you know, it was almost like that never happened. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right with that.
Yeah, I liked, I absolutely loved the, again, it goes back to being like a kid again, right? The locker room talk, the ball bashing, like we would razz each other every single day on stuff. And that was, it was good. It was good, wholesome, fun.
Jason, didn't you carry sausages around for a couple of days?
I carried one for him.
No, I did have. All right, so hold on. That's going to be the next question. Is give me and to our listeners one obstacle you had to overcome. And John, I'm already going to tell you your obstacle was the first 2 days. Like your stomach was messed up, and how did you deal with that? It was bad. Not bad as in like it was. I felt for you. Like, oh man, you're probably going to have to tap out.
I don't know if it was, my thought is I drank that water that was, that filtered water at, Stubblefield.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was that or if it was some of the dehydrated food that I'd eaten the night before.
Yeah.
Nope. But man, my stomach was all kinds of messed up and, I mean, you just you deal with it as best you can. You know, it was definitely a challenge. I kept finding myself way in the back trying to catch up with everybody. Time, if you had to come back, I don't know that I would have gotten lost. It was early in the morning; it was still dark, and I was way off trail, and I had come back trying to find the trail and somehow got turned around. But Lomanac, I saw your headlamp coming back down and I turned to the right to meet you at the trail. Yeah. But yeah, it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was just, I knew, you know, first off, you know, it's important to have the electrolytes because as you're expelling them, to kind of rehydrate and stuff. But like, I was like, yeah, you know, I was kind of planning like, okay, what trailheads are coming up? How many miles we got to each one? And what are some bailout points for you? Cause yeah, that's no bueno for sure. Jason, yeah. What about you? What is an obstacle? And it could be the sausage that you ate and that you got sick on, but.
Yeah, that was triggering the panic, the indigestion, my gut and my brain were very tied together with the panic stuff. So, what got me through that sort of stuff. And it happened like two times, I think during that hike was like, it's the most scariest scenario, right. That I could be in is be in the woods and have something like that happen and be stuck out there. And I got through it, you know, like I made it like it. You know, it came, it passed, it was over. And that was like a good sort of strengthening resolve, you know, that probably helped me get over that whole period of my life.
I remember we were sitting in our camp chairs and we're right by that. There's like a little house and there's like a little school bus stop. And you're like, no, is that Trailhead 11? And you were like, man, I'm going to have to stop eating these sausages. Something's wrong with them.
Yeah. I don't think they liked like cooking in my bag or something. I don't know. Yeah.
So that's a nice lesson to learn to listeners. Don't put sausage in your bag for a 6-day backpacking trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Greg?
Oh, I'm going to say sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would wake. I'd be so exhausted during the day. So I'd lay down, set my tent up, lay down, go to sleep, And at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake. So then I'll let you guys know I'm going on the trail and just pack my stuff up. And you're all like, wait, we're going together.
Yeah, but man, so the way you pack up camp is like me and my wife when she's mad at me cleaning the house.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, clank. Like, I as well get up.
Yeah. So I apologize, but yeah, my sleep pattern was just terrible.
Yeah, like every day we had to like leave at 2 in the morning. I'm like, God dang, bro. Come on.
Couldn't help it.
Well, probably because all the snoring, you woke yourself up and couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah, John, thanks.
Anytime, bro. That's what I'm here for.
I think my
We're leaving.
Yep. I think my only obstacle, and we talked about it before, is the chafing was, I never could imagine it could be so painful.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and then mentally, you know, every step you're going to feel that pain. And yeah, it was miserable. And I know, Greg, like on the very last day you had that obstacle when you thought you could outrun me and race me.
Oh yeah.
To the end of the trail and you lost.
No, I could have, but I let you win because I love you.
Yeah. We're probably at mile 98 and, you know, he's got his head buds in and he's skipping and hooting and hollering on the trail. And then he like, and of course there's competition between us since we met, he starts trying to run up to me and I'm like, oh hell, he's not beating me. So I like take off and you know, we've already been into like 98 miles of hiking. We're flying down the trail, racing each other.
It's funny and exhausting.
Yeah. So as we kind of start to wrap up, I've got three more questions left for us. And one I think is really important, you know, to our listeners, because not all of them have done long hiking days or long hikes, backpacking trips in general, is how do you stay motivated when you know, like you wake up in the morning and go, crap, I got, because I know one of the days we did 18, 19 miles. Like, how do you just stay motivated when either you're not feeling good, you know you've got 10 more miles to go or whatever it be, and just to kind of to keep pushing through?
I personally just look for the next mile marker.
Yeah.
I'm just walking, looking at the woods and be like, oh, there's that mile marker. And, you know, I just blink my brain out and looking at nature and focus on the mile markers and destination.
Okay. Jay, what about you?
I don't know. I kind of looked at the positives, you know.
Yeah.
I looked forward to the mile. It's not the miles I was really focused on. It's kind of great. I'm just walking, right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about all the sights I'm going to see. Cool stuff we don't even know, or, you know, or conversations we, you know, funny laughs we're going to have. just, you know, it's going to be a good day, right?
Yeah.
Even if it rains, like there's going to be something, it's going to be a cool story to talk to my kids about. Like the whole thing, just completing it was like reason enough just to do it, just to accomplish something, you know?
I can't tell you how many times it rained and I put my rain gear on and it stopped.
As soon as I have pictures and a video, as soon as we got all dressed up in our fancy gear, it stopped raining.
It stopped to see if it really start coming.
Yeah.
Okay, it's serious this time.
Yeah.
Put it on and,
And John, what about you?
I stayed focused on the prize, right? I kept thinking about how, you know, whatever we're enduring or whatever we're going through at the moment will be lost. It's like it's kind of like, you know, when they say if like when women have babies, they forget the pain or they'd never have another child.
Yeah.
Right. They know there's a lot of pain, but after the fact that it's they don't have as extreme memories of it. And I knew that all of the suffering that we were going through, the stress of the walk, the minor injuries and inconveniences would pale in comparison to that that feeling that we got when we walked out of the trailhead at Trailhead 15, finished with the hike, you know, looking forward to that emotional time was that's what kept me going.
You know, what's crazy for me is I genuinely did not wake up dreading the day's hike. I might have got a little nervous, depending on the mileage, right? But what was crazy to me is those last few miles of the day, you know, for all of us, were brutal, right? They feel like you're walking on landmines. And then we'd get to camp, and we'd set up tents, and we'd grab some firewood, and we're all kind of like hobbling around. And then I think every one of us would pretty much take a nap immediately, right? We'd go to sleep and fall asleep, no time. But when I'd wake up from that nap, and I don't know how long it was, as soon as I would put my shoes on and get up, my feet felt so much better. And then by the time morning came, they felt normal. So it's not like the pain of the day before followed me through the whole trip. It was like a reset. Yeah. So thank God, right? If it wasn't that scenario, then it would have been really tough.
Greg, what about you? Because, I mean, like, again, like, you know, you're never going to quit. That we know. But visibly, we could see you, you know, like pushing through the pain. And then we cut that one day short from 16 miles to 12 miles. And then the next 2 days were like 18 miles and 19 miles. So like, how did you just get through it?
I don't know. I just walked.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just head down, foot in front of the other. I know I'm in a situation that I don't love right now, but to be honest, I could feel my son with me.
Yeah.
So I lagged behind intentionally because there were times I got very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I could hear him just going, "Dad, I'm with you."
Yeah. What are you going to say, Jake?
I was going to say, you're also talking to a guy who did a marathon with his nipples bleeding in his shirt. And how long did you train for that marathon?
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, never put any real mileage. Like, so he's used to pain. He's very familiar with discomfort.
I also passed 600 kidney stones. So
yeah.
Now that was like almost on the daily.
Yeah, man.
God, it's just another walk in the woods for Greg.
Yeah.
I never forget the day at work. Greg came walking up to my desk. He goes, "Man, look at this." And he's got a kidney stone in his hand. And I'm like,
oh, and shit. That's one last night.
What? You're still getting them?
First one in like 3 years. But yeah. Mm. Yeah. I got gout too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think what motivated me outside of, you know, it's every morning you woke up, you know, it's a challenge. Like what's on the agenda today and persevering, but also I knew I was getting, you know, day three, there was a cheeseburger coming my way. Then there was Carrie bringing all the goodies, the, you know, chicken wings and the hot water. And so like, it kind of gave you something to look forward to. And then, you know, when my parents brought the KFC, God, that was so good. But, you know, having something to look forward to outside of just dehydrated food and well, you know, hot water, we can kind of clean up a little bit. So that motivated me.
I did love collecting the miles, right? Like watching our number go up. Every mile marker that we pass, it's like an accolade. You know?
So and this is to the listeners, we're at Trailhead 10 and it's a massive parking lot. And, you know, you're not supposed to camp there, but we camp there. And we originally tried to set up our tents in the parking lot. And I think, John, you were the only freestanding tent. So you were successful. Ours are trekking pole tents and you needed, you know, to be able to stake out. We couldn't stake out. So we were right off the parking lot. And Jason and I started talking and I'm like, you do realize like when we finish this hike, we're only going to be at like 96.4 miles, right? I said, I'm not investing 6 days of hiking or 5.5 days of hiking and be short of 100. So this is already like, I think day five, like the next day we were finishing up. So there's a little bitty, like a mile long trail, or maybe half a mile take. And so like, we just set up all our stuff and then just went. And while John and Greg were doing the fire and getting all that going, we just started hiking to try to get, you know, as many laps as we could before we completely just died. And to make sure that we were going to make that 100 miles.
Yeah, I bailed off a couple laps early because I just figuring all the extra miles I put, like, you know, I didn't exactly follow to a straight T. Like, I think there was one morning we veered off the wrong way a little while, then came back.
Oh, yeah.
In a double, I think it was the Four Notch. I think we did that in Four Notch. But yeah.
Kind of also that same night, you know, we're tucked away in the forest outside of the parking lot, and I had no idea. But John wakes up in the morning, he's like, you know, these kids, you know, are doing donuts in the parking lot, and his tent's in the parking lot. So, like, tell us about that, John. How was that?
Dude, I woke up. That was the night, you know, when y'all talk about how fast I fall asleep. That was one of the nights that I literally, I don't remember, the day was exhausting, and I climbed in there with the full intent of just taking a nap. You know, I was just, because it was still pretty early.
Yeah.
And I fell completely out. I was gone. I woke up in the middle of the night, I have no idea what time it was, and saw y'all's tents on the other side of the parking lot and the trees.
Wait a minute. Did we move before you fell asleep?
No. Or we moved after. No,
after. So while we were trying to set up, he fell asleep. Yeah. We just left him out in the parking lot.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, those SOBs, you know, left me over here. And I was still too tired to care. You know?
So and their sign, like, he's out in the open. Their sign saying, do not camp here.
Yeah, he's like 100 yards away.
Yeah. And I went back to sleep. The next thing I remember is there's a truck or something, I mean, doing loops through the parking lot, donuts. Lights were flashing in my tent. I thought I was going to get hit.
Oh, God.
I slept through that. I did not hear that at all.
I didn't hear it at all. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was a dream.
No, it wasn't. I wish it was a dream. But they were there for, it seemed like a long time, but they were probably just there for a few minutes, and they bailed out. But, yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking.
That might have been Jason's parents. They brought us the KFC.
Yeah, could have been.
And remember, that like, was. Go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, isn't that the same place where some people drove up and you told that girl that the chair would hold 200 pounds? is that the same location?
There was a couple. Yeah, there was a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
She was asking about the camp chairs.
Yeah. I forgot about that. And also like when we had, I think it was pictures or it was afterwards and we were talking about where we camped at. Brian found out and we got in trouble by Brian. You're not supposed to camp there.
Oh yeah.
You guys are right there on the map.
Yeah. It says you're not supposed to do it. And we were like,
oh, by the way,
give a shit. But
I think let me do, oh, a shout out to Brian for cooking us breakfast at Stubblefield.
Oh yeah.
Giving us a boat ride because the bridge was being constructed, and so he helped us avoid a huge detour.
And he gave both you guys the shits.
Yep. So that, and to the listeners, you know, we've worked up to through hiking, we planned it all out, and then the construction of the Stubblefield Bridge was delayed into our through hike, so there's no way you can get across that little section. So then it was kind of a panic, and Brian was like, oh man, you know, I have a canoe. I can just canoe you guys across to the other side. And so day one, we camped at just right past Trailhead 6 is 16 miles, and then hiked the 4 miles to Stubblefield. And Brian met us there with the most amazing breakfast burrito breakfast that I've ever had.
Man, it was a lot.
Oh, it was a ton. And so we hung out there for a while, and then, you know, he canoed us across. And the funny thing is as the, I think Greg and John, you guys were the first people to get to go across. And then Jason and I went, as you guys are getting in the canoe and you start heading out to the other side, you start hearing like somebody with like an AR-15 going, bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah, bah, bah, bah. Oh yeah. They were hunting.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, I'm not going over there. But
wait, somebody fell in the water. Who fell in the water?
Jason. Yeah. And my backpack too.
But Dyneema,
luckily I have a Hyperlite Dyneema Windrider or whatever. But yeah, that was pretty miserable.
And by the way, Brian is my brother-in-law.
Oh yeah, Brian. Yeah.
When we got to the other side of the lake, wasn't that the start of one of the road hikes?
Trailhead 7, I think.
7? Right?
Yeah. Well, the first road walk
at the end of that was, though.
Yeah, right past the Huntsville State Park at Trailhead 7. It's like almost 2 miles.
And that was the start of like the muddy section with the thorns and all that, right? Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Right at past 7.
Yeah, because Jason fell back, and we were all we're like, "Where's Jason?" And then we can hear this noise,
Nighthawk 2000s,
and then I look down this like long stretch, and there's something white behind the bush, like bright white, like what is? And Jason's walking like he's a freaking runway model.
Yep. So to the listeners, the Nighthawks, and I still have them. They're back here somewhere, are garbage bags that I was either going to put my feet in and then put in the shoe, or just put them over my shoe, duct tape them around my leg because I didn't want soggy feet because the trail was wet. And so I ended up, you know, putting them over my shoes and walking with them. And they were not, they worked, except for eventually they started kind of just sagging down, and then I just took them off. But yeah, it was my attempt to engineer keeping my feet dry.
The Nighthawk 2000.
It worked better than mine.
Yeah, and I looked pretty hot in them. I'm just going to tell you right now. I have pictures.
Yeah, he was like a derelict from Zoolander.
That's right. Hell yeah. All right, so the last two questions, and I always wrap up the episodes with these two questions. You're meeting a new hiker backpacker, and I know we've kind of talked about some of this stuff before, but just what is your one piece of gear that you would recommend to someone that wants to get into our hobby? You could only say one. John, you want to lead us on this one?
Yeah. Looking from outside of the obvious, right? If I'm talking to someone who's new to this, they're going to know to get a tent. They're going to know these certain things, but a good night's sleep is imperative. And I think I upgraded mine. I talked to Greg. I think Greg, you may have gone with me when I bought it, or no, Jason, was that you when I bought the,
it we was met you, it, Jason. Yeah. We were at REI.
We met at REI. Mm-hmm. And I bought the sleeping pad. It's so much better than what I had. Yeah. It's not even comparable, night and day.
All right. So for you is a sleeping pad. Right. Jay, what do you got?
I think, just because of my plantar fasciitis, making sure you have properly fitted shoes that, for the right terrain,
yeah,
could make or break your day.
All right, Greg,
I'm gonna say a good double. Get a double tent. That way you can bring everything inside and, you know, move around. I had a single when we did our trek through, and it was a challenge to be comfortable at that point, but a double's fine. But a lightweight, good double.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. If you're ever gonna, and to the listeners, if you ever want to get into backpacking, I don't care if it's just a night and you're a single, you need a two person. You're a couple, you need a three person. Pay a little bit extra, for that extra room, and it's magical. I think my piece of gear that has changed the way I backpack, and they're sitting right behind me, and it's this red, blue, and yellow. These are the Trekker Joe water bottle sleeve holders.
Oh my God, what is that?
So they fit on your backpack, on your shoulder straps, and they hold your water bottles. And, you know, I can't reach behind me in the hip belts to pull out water. And here, like, I just grab them and just go, like, one-handed, undo, drink. And I don't have to stop. I don't have to take off my backpack. I don't have to reach behind me. I don't have to do anything that I used to do. I just grab the water. And the nice thing about it is, if you have two, so you have 2 liters right here in the front, and you have, let's say you have a long carry, and then you have 2 liters on your hip belt, the weight distribution from the front and the back is absolutely crazy. Like, you would never think that it would be that meaningful. Man, let me tell you, if you're hiking, backpacking, day hiking, whatever, and also Joe's a cool guy. He's a ultralight gear company here in Texas, and you're supporting a family and not a CEO in beach houses. And I have, like, you know, Hyperlite, Z-Packs, Ultras. Like, none of that gear has changed the way I hike and backpack, but these water bottle sleeve holders, unbelievable. So that would be my piece of gear to anybody hiking. And make sure your backpack supports the connections. But, I mean, it does work on all backpacks except for ones that don't have the little inner strap where you can kind of hook it in. All right, Greg, you got this question to lead off. Same scenario. So, new hiker, backpacker, what is one piece of safety advice you would give them?
I would say that, you know, the GPS thing that you have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the satellite. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I would get that. The Garmin, or is it Garmin?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like satellite. 3 or 4 different kind of popular versions, but basically a satellite.
Especially if you're a beginner and you don't know where you're going, you don't know what you're doing, and you happen to get off trail like we did on John's first hike.
Yeah.
You could use your phone, but you don't know. It depends on your service provider, whether you're going to get reception or something like that. So having a way for you, a loved one or someone to get in touch with you or find you is important.
Absolutely. You know, I had that interview. I don't know if you guys listened to it with Mr. Barry. He was lost at Guadalupe for 5 days, didn't have water for 4 days. That was his first purchase once he was rescued, was a Garmin InReach. And he didn't have a cell phone charger, so that was his second purchase right after he was rescued. Jay, what about you? Wow.
I would say that since I am a beginner, and I definitely was at the beginning of that hike, don't underestimate the hike. Don't underestimate a day hike. Don't underestimate, you know, I feel like for the lack of experience you have, depending on how much you have experience-wise, you should probably plan for extra, a little extra water, a little extra food, extra prep time, extra, you know, the more experienced you are, obviously, you'll know what's coming. But, you know, like I said, there was a couple sketchy moments where I was really low on water. And, you know, I should have prepped for more because I didn't know the trail, right? So I would just say, don't underestimate and plan for some contingencies, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of crappy. You're exactly right. And, you know, when you and I both were out of water at right before Trailhead 9, and we were filtering that dirty water. And, you know, I posted a picture on Facebook, and my family, like, I'm like, hey, I'm in a, you know, we don't have any water. I'm having to filter this stuff. And everybody just liked it. Yay. And I'm like, no one, I'm only an hour away, and no one can offer to come bring some clean, nice water. You're just liking it and laughing, ha ha ha, whatever. Like, what a bunch of jerks. All right, John, what do you got?
Yeah, well, I would say, I know this sounds like a simple thing, But when you're out there, especially on a long hike, the smallest little thing can fester. And I would say a small first aid kit of some kind, because even, you know, not to, you know, I know this, it sounds bad, but, you know, we were on that 5.5 days. Well, that's 5.5 days with no shower, 5.5 days without being able to. So if you get a nick or a scratch or a small cut or something like that, it can really, you really risk infection if you don't have a way to keep it clean. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Some bandages, some antiseptic, you know, something just to keep those things clean and from infection.
Yep.
Yep. And shout out to Brian again, because he gave me one of those.
Yep. And also to that, and it's like what we talked about before, like, you know, if the weather is going to not be great, still go out and hike, still go out and do those things to test right. out your gear, to put yourself in those safer experiences to see how you're going to handle it and stuff. But also, when you have a first aid kit, actually, before you go out, open it up and think, see what's all in it and have an understanding what that stuff is used for and how you would use it in what situations, and you know, practice using it. Like,
yeah. Break your arm and put on a tourniquet.
Exactly. I mean, stab yourself, cut yourself, get some duct tape and slap it on there. And, okay. I have to wipe off the blood first because it's not going to stick. Yeah. Yeah. Duct tape. You have to have duct tape.
That's universal.
I think for me, the most important, and I think it really is the foundation of us going out and hiking, is before you leave the house, tell somebody where you're going.
Yes.
What time you're going to start hiking, what time you think you should end hiking, and what time you should be back. That's your itinerary. Mm-hmm. And if, like, one time I got to Trailhead 6, it was flooded. I texted Lori. I'm like, hey, I'm going to head to Trailhead 9 because Trailhead 6 is flooded. She never responded. So I just went home. Like, I didn't, do not change your itinerary. If you tell somebody you're doing this, do that. And yeah, you can change and as you see the conditions and stuff, but don't change unless they confirm back to you that, yes, I have your itinerary, right? You know, like, I know of the change. And to me, kind of talking about it being kind of the foundation, you know, some people can't afford these satellite devices or the monthly payments. You know, some people, are with their phones, they're technically not savvy enough to do certain things, but everybody, you know, can communicate in a way to let someone know what their plan is and don't change that plan. Do you guys have one Lone Star hiking trail story that we haven't mentioned that you think is worth before we head out? Just a memorable moment.
Just that one time I peed on your tent. That's all.
Yeah, that one. Okay.
No, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, mine was the guy doing donuts in the parking lot around my tent. That was, yep.
Jason, what you got? Is there just something that we haven't talked about that you're like, oh man, we should mention?
I'm sure there is. I just am trying to think of what it is.
So let me give mine and you can think while I'm giving mine. Yeah. And all right, so we had already talked about some reason Greg thought he could beat me in a race. You know, it's never happened since junior high.
I used to smoke him all the time when we were children.
Anyway, it's never happened. So he's running up to me, like, you know, we're at mile 96, 97. We're almost at the end. So I hear him bloop, 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 his feet, thinking,
dude,
you know,
I was a gazelle. Don't listen to that shit.
He starts to catch up, and then I just take off, and I saw his heart being ripped out because he knew not today. So the funny part is I didn't stop running. I couldn't stop. Like, the chafing was, I couldn't feel it because everything else was hurting. So I just kept going. So I get close to Trailhead 15 and I can see, you know, I pass the church. I see the cars in the parking lot. There's only one car and I see that it's Carrie and Dylan. And I'm like, all right. And I didn't even think anything of it. So I'm just walking around the corner as to finish the hike, to actually walk through the last part of the trailhead. And the music turns on and it's We Are the Champions. The balloons come out of the car. And I'm like, whoa, 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 stop, stop. It's just me. Everybody else is way back there. And so I'm like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Put everything back. So then I hiked back and then we finished together.
Yeah. You ruined it.
I ruined it. And she probably still hates me for that.
Nah.
Yeah. Greg, you and Lomanac, man, y'all's family really, really stepped up. You know, Carrie and Dylan. I tell you what, that was exciting. It was just the four of us, but Carrie always does a party, man. She's good at planning and doing these things. And they had the poppers, the confetti poppers, and music was playing, and she made us all shirts, and
oh yeah, you're wearing one.
An experience. Yeah. Yeah, I'm wearing it. So yeah, it was an experience.
Well,
I would like everybody to admit one thing.
What? Okay?
Let's be truthful, guys.
Right? Okay.
Who fell down once, and how many times have you fallen down on that hike? I'm talking out.
I probably two or three at least.
I know I did.
I know at least once.
I don't think I fell down. Oh no, I did on my face.
You don't hike fast enough to fall.
I know I fell down.
Was that when we were like training? When was the time when I fell straight on my face? Like, I don't know what it was like.
I don't know that I've ever been on a hike with you where you didn't fall on your face.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I thought I heard a tree fall down. You know? I guess that's what it was.
No, it's Greg.
And I fell straight on my face, like no hands almost.
That's what Jeremy had John, though. He would kick those roots.
I remember that, but I don't remember if it was practice.
John would kick those roots. I'm like, here he goes. And dude would always, he would always stick the landing. Every freaking time, man.
Yeah.
You know,
and also, John would love to, like, turn around and look at you with his headlamp on while he's talking to you in the middle of the night so you're blind.
Yeah. Hiker etiquette. Hiker etiquette. Yeah. You know, and that's one thing that we certainly didn't bring up, but the Lone Star Hiking Trail, almost all the sections, you have to be mentally engaged in what you're doing because of the roots, you know, and the potential of twisting your ankle and stuff. And, you know, you get tired, you're not focusing. And man, that, I guess the nice thing about it is you're never too far from a bailout point if, you know, in case you do hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And certainly some of those sections are just absolutely, the roots are, you almost can't take a step without touching one. I mean, they're just everywhere.
So, at least you. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, you know, as again, we kind of wrapping this up, what really stuck out to me when we first started this interview and kind of going through, you know, our experiences and what we've done since the hiking and stuff, it really hit me like we have lost contact with each other, and we, you know, we were hiking all the time together, and you know, Greg with, you know, getting back into to, you know, seeing if you're able to hike again after the surgeries and stuff. But yeah, it was just kind of shocking that, you know, I think Jason, you said life, you know, you and Greg kind of didn't kind of, you know, not always talking like you used to. And it's just life kind of gets in the way. And I know it's kind of cliche and people always say it, but like, you know, we should definitely, don't even have to be hiking, but, you know, be better friends.
Yeah.
And,
Palo Duro, we got to do Palo Duro, the four of us.
Absolutely. and Caprock. Okay. And then Lost Maples. And then Bear Canyon.
Look, I absolutely have to go to what's it called? Big Ben.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that.
You're gonna make me trailblaze.
That's right.
That's right.
TTP, baby.
All right, guys. Well, I gotta start cooking for tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful time to catch up with you guys. Thank you so much for clearing your schedule for 3 hours for the and supporting the Trailblazing Texas podcast. I greatly enjoyed it talking to you, seeing you guys, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, you too.
Yep.
Same. And, thanks. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.